Our gospel reading this morning is from John, the 17th chapter. I have elected to kind of read the entire chapter as this is Jesus' last prayer. And it is a prayer that was spoken in the upper room. John 17, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up into heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they're yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name, those that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundations of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know you, that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This has been this past Thursday was celebrated by what is called the Ascension of the Lord. It occurred 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. The reading for that day was Acts chapter 1, where Jesus was meeting with the disciples, and he was taken up in a cloud into heaven. Jesus had appeared to them on several known occasions during that 40-day period. Here, Jesus tells them that in a few days, they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then, Jesus is visibly taken up into heaven, right in front of them. And all they could do was gawk. And really, I think we would have done the same thing. The disciples just could not understand, but would come to understand in just a few days. Now, we are also celebrating Memorial Day. We are recognizing those who have gone ahead of us, having provided a heritage of peace and fullness. We remember them with love. We remember Kenny Barker, Patsy Hackworth, Susie Strait, and most recently, G. Casto. We remember our grandparents, our parents, our children, and other loved ones. But we also give honor to those who gave their highest for our country in protecting our freedom and way of life. Friends, we are celebrating these two special days, but I also wanted to take the time today to read the entire lesson in John's Gospel. This is called the High Priestly Prayer. It occurs right after Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples. You will remember that he had washed their feet. They had celebrated Passover. And he had given them their last teachings. Now he prays to God. Some theologians have called this the real Lord's Prayer, because it is one that Jesus prayed for his disciples. It is Jesus' prayer for his companions and his church. The reading this morning was supposed to be the first 11 verses, but the prayer continued through the entire chapter, and I read it because I wanted you to hear it in its entirety. Jesus' prayer is for four things. They all have to do with the church and with those disciples who lived 2,000 years ago and with the church as it exists today and for you and for me. We are God's children, Jesus' friends. And for us, Jesus gave his life. Now, first, he prays that God will protect us from the evil one. He would protect the disciples, but he would also pray for protection for those to come. Now, earlier this year, here at Rock Lake, we had two baptisms. Haley Catherine Marion, daughter of Tommy and Ashley Marion, and Elizabeth Suzanne Eliza Baker, daughter of Brett and Emily O'Connell Baker. Before I baptized these children, I asked the parents the question, do you renounce evil? It's important to note that when we baptize children, we are asking the parents about their commitment before turning to their children. Jesus prays for us, his children. There is evil in the world. There's an evil force combating against God. And Jesus is praying for us against that evil. Jesus then prays that God would be with us in unity. It is the first prayer we find for Christian unity. Jesus prayed that his disciples may be one. Unfortunately, we all know that not everything is done in the church, nor in the name of the church, is always done for the glory of God. We know that at times in history, the church has ignored the will of God in order to have its own way. As a consequence, there has been discord and disunity in God's church. This disunity is apparent in the number of denominations that we have. At first, it was just a family squabble. Paul, Peter, and James had disagreements over the expansion of the early faith, known as the Way. That church was taken to the Gentiles, and how they, the Gentiles, should conduct themselves in the tradition of the Jews. Then there was a split in the main body between the church in Constantinople into the Eastern Orthodox Church and the church in Rome. And these two still exist. You have to know that there were and still are any number of denominations. Later, about 500 years ago, a rebellious group put Scripture above the church and called for changes that they were to reject. So they protested. And as a result, that family became two, the Protestants and the Roman Catholics. And throughout church history, the Protestants disagreed on certain tenets of the faith, and even today in the Presbyterian Church, we experience some tensions between believers who think they know exactly what God wants and expects from him. But God wants them and us to be one in God, loving each other as God showed that love in Jesus. Through all these times, there has been disunity in the body of Christ. That doesn't sound like anything like the prayer that Jesus was offering for his disciples, does it? It is Jesus' continuing prayer for us that we will be one. Friends, we need to be more accepting of those who claim the Lord in any different manner than we. Then, Jesus asks that we would have joy. This may be rather hard for us to understand. Jesus uses a kind of reasoning that turns all human reasoning upside down. It is God's reasoning. Jesus prays that you and I would have the joy in the midst of all that pulls and tugs us in this world. A real peace that comes only from God. Jesus' final request is that we be sanctified. Sanctification is a word that we use too seldom. In fact, many of us may not even know what it means. It means being purified or being made holy. It is a process of transformation that happens when we walk with God on a daily basis. It happens when we consciously turn toward God and accept God's love. Perhaps we can best understand sanctification from a human perspective in terms of discipline. It is in the spiritual disciplines that we open ourselves to God and God's desires for us. In the process, God transforms us. We all know about discipline. If you've ever become proficient at a sport or a game, it's probably come about because of the discipline of practice. You have learned a musical instrument. You have spent hours of disciplined practice. From God's perspective, sanctification is a setting apart. Our life in God is a life apart from many of the things that appeal to us as humans. It is a life set apart for being God's son or daughter. It is a life set apart for living in God's kingdom. Today, my friends, Jesus continues to pray for us. Can you hear him? His last earthly prayers are for you and for me. May we all be protected from evil. May we truly love one another. May we truly have joy. And may we be set apart, sanctified for service in God's kingdom. Let us pray. Most gracious God, how we thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Thank you for the example of intercessory prayer that he has given us. Thank you for the fact that he has already lifted us up to you in prayer and that you are aware of us. Help us, Lord, to be intercessors ourselves, and may we live the unity for which Jesus prayed. This and all our prayers we offer in his name. Amen.